is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Smitty Sports Talk Podcast. And today we're talking about the Sixers and Nets game that was maybe the weirdest game I've ever seen in my life. It was strange. I mean, it was beyond strange. The Sixers, early in this game, were on a 20-4 run. And we're up 20-4. They were up 20-4. And then all of a sudden, Joel Embiid is taken out of the game due to just normal substitutions. And then all of a sudden, they go on a 40-8 run in the second quarter, and they're down by 20 points. They're down 20 points. They're down 50-30 at one point. It was borderline unwatchable. They couldn't buy a bucket. They couldn't buy a lick of anything. It was embarrassing. It was actually embarrassing. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe that that actually happened, because it's something that should never happen in the NBA, ever. Especially when you're up by 16 on a team in one quarter. And the very next quarter, they flip the script and double your score. Yeah, shocking. Shocking. But as a whole, the Sixers got the job done. So let's talk about some points here and some just individual stats. Joel Embiid was a monster in this game throughout. Early, he torched Jalen Allen. And that was a big one. But Joel Embiid finished with 39 points, 2 assists, 16 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And he was 18 from 19 from the line. That's really good. He hit some of those free throws late in this ball game to help them propel them into the playoff, or not the playoff, propel them into overtime, and he hit big ones in overtime as well. Tobias Harris had 22 points. He played 46 minutes. That's a lot of time for Tobias Harris, but he played 22. He scored 22 points, 6 assists, 12 rebounds, so he hit a double-double, and also had 2 steals to his name. All around, it was a good game from those two, I would say, and another good game was Alec Burks. Alec Burks off the bench was Alec Burks we saw in Golden State before we traded here. Scored about 15, 16 points a game. He scored 19 points tonight with 1 assist, 4 rebounds. He was 2-for-4 from behind the arc. He did his job. Someone like Furkan Korkmaz didn't do his job. Someone like Al Horford didn't do his job. And I don't know what to do with Al Horford. I don't know how this is possible for him to be this bad. I really don't see it. Something has to be wrong, right? I mean, you can't be this bad. You can't go from being a very, very solid piece last year to awful the very next year. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't buy the whole Al Horford isn't good anything or anything like that. I don't buy that because it makes no sense to me. But after the Sixers allowed a 48 run in the second quarter and we're down by 20 points with under 3 minutes to go, by the way, the Sixers starting to get their transition game going a little bit. They started to getting points driving the lane inside. Getting a couple shots in the out. Now, shooting outside, speaking of shots outside, their outside shooting from three was awful. They shot 18%. That's not good. You can't do that. I know this team isn't a three-point shooting team, but that's not good. But that's what they did, and they hit a couple ones they needed to. They pounded the rock inside the paint most of the game, especially late on fast break opportunities after they, committed. They had Brooklyn in this third quarter commit 4 straight turnovers, which was obviously huge for the team. So that started a big run for them, and they really got going just playing fast, playing up to where Ben Simmons would be here if he was playing this game, where Ben Simmons would be running this offense. Well, speaking of Ben Simmons' replacement, Raul Neto, he was terrible. He was awful. He was not playable last night. In my opinion, sure, he didn't look terrible on the score sheet. He had 6 points, 4 assists, but he was just disengaged the whole game. Just disengaged the whole game, and it made no sense to me why he kept staying in. He played about 24 minutes. I don't know why he played this much. He should not be playing that much. Sorry about that, as my phone decides to just beep along here. But they should not be playing that much, and to me, it's embarrassing how he played in a role where he's going to start. It's not like they have elite point guards on the other side. There's no Kyrie Irving in this game. I see we found terrible news, which it sucks for Kyrie because he's trying to get back. as he'll be out for the season with a shoulder surgery, right? Shoulder surgery. We just found out that news before the game started. So that kind of sucks for Kyrie. But you know, Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, they're not known for defense. They're not known as disruptors. So that whole nano should have got going at least a little bit, you think?
Yeah, no.
Nope. Nothing for a whole Neto. But let's talk about where the game started to get picked up a little bit. The third quarter. Al Horford at half
was minus 30.
Minus 30. That's awful. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way you can have somebody go from what he was last year in Boston to be minus 30 at halftime as a player. To me, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Ben Simmons obviously has a big thing to do with it because Ben Simmons is the one, the catalyst for the whole team. But it's awful. And it's just, like, it makes you wonder, what are they telling him? Like, what are they telling Al Horford to be? What is his actual role to be? Is he not going to be a backup five? Is he not playing like a backup five? Even though he's playing that role? Is he being told to play something else as he's in that role? Like, you have to let Al Horford do his thing. You have to let him do his thing. Let him be the backup five. Let him just work out his kinks and just do his thing, man. I don't understand what they're trying to do with Al Horford, and I don't think it's his fault, necessarily. It makes no sense to me how it could be. But it's okay. Like I was saying, third quarter, lots of transition buckets. Alec Burks started going off. I mean, he had this layup where he just pushed through contact and just got a scoop layup in there. Top of the glass. It was really nice to see. Joel Embiid started dominating again. Here's this funny thing. The Nets switched up on Joel and put DeAndre Jordan on Joel, and that really gave him some, you know, gave him some trouble for a little while. He wasn't able to get going right away after he was, I'm sorry, I said Jalen Allen before, Jared Allen. He wasn't able to go off like he did when he was on Jared Allen until late. Then he took over the game, dominated the game, showed what he was the force. There was a moment where it was late in this game, late in the third, and there was a shot, and he was there for an offensive rebound. There was three people around him, and he just bullied people out of the way. That's the Joel Embiid we need. And that's Joel Embiid we all know who's capable of being the best center in the league at times. So it was good to see Joel do that. He finished with 39 points. He was outstanding in overtime in the end of the fourth quarter. He really took over. So it was really good to see. But moral of the story here is, do you guys see, for all the Ben Simmons haters, oh, he won't shoot, get him out of here, trade him, get him out, get him out. Do you see how big of a difference it is when he's not on the court? The team looks lost, man. Looks lost. Ben Simmons is a big deal. Ben Simmons is not going anywhere. I just hope he's okay. Because it's weird. Ben took a scary fall in the All-Star game. And then looked like he was fine afterwards. He got picked up and played and looked like he was fine. But then, you know, they said at practice he tweaked something. And you just want to hold him out for precautionary reasons. And I see that. But is it a little bit worse than we think? Because Ben Simmons isn't a guy to miss time. He never misses time. He gives you 80 games a season. It makes no sense. I hope Ben is okay. I think they're doing a big cover-up here, but, I mean, who knows? I could be wrong. He could actually have an injury, and they're just saying this to hold him out in case, you know, it did happen in the All-Star game. They're just going to say it's in practice, so no one makes a big thing of it. Who knows? But, altogether, the Sixers game was huge. The Joel Embiid Eurostep, people calling it travel, was not a travel. It was a beautiful Eurostep from Joel Embiid. He, after the score, he came back, you know, waved his arms in the air, doing his all dances to the crowd, you know, being him. And that's the thing where Joel Embiid talks about a lot. It's just being him. And he needs to get back to that. I think he plays a lot better that way. I think he's a beast when he just is him and he just does his thing, which is what we want to keep seeing for Joel Embiid. That's really going to wrap it up for me. Sorry for a quick one here. Just got a lot of stuff to do. But this is a good win for the team after a rough second quarter. Good win. They have to go to Milwaukee and play well in Milwaukee, which is never easy. But thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. all the listeners lately. I appreciate everybody giving feedback to me. Thank you guys a lot. Go Sixers. And I'll see you guys in my next one. Thank you.